Welcome to the Brothers Murph Get Smart, a weekly podcast in which two brothers, namely myself, Nick Murphy,
and me, Michael Lee Murphy,
work to get more knowledgeable about this big, beautiful blue marble that we live on. It always laughs me when I do intros.
I love the marble thing because it really does look like a marble.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like
one of those, I think it's good.
Those glass marbles, all the stuff inside is cool.
Yeah.
And with us, as always, is our co-host, the indescribable.
Yes. Casey Brown.
I decided to use a real word this time.
Thank you.
And then coming with us all the way from DC is Mr.
Hey, it's me. It's Dylan White.
Dylan White. All right. All the way from the Dizzle Sizzle, as it's called in the streets.
That's what Obama calls it, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And this week we have a very interesting topic, a topic that I don't think it's talked about very often.
At least not positively.
No.
Yes, and
or
it gets talked
or neutral.
Or yeah,
informatively. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Our topic this week is all about trolling, about living under bridges, asking people
living
riddles.
Living in Norway,
yeah,
probably.
Exactly. You know, that's what it's all about. No, it's about trolling, about like internet trolling and internet trolls, which is a very fascinating concept. And we have someone with us this week who is a self-proclaimed troll. This week we have Mr. Max.
Woo-hoo!
Yay!
Hi, everybody. I think that was the most enthusiastic applause for a troll.
Yeah,
totally. Usually it's just like
of ever.
Oh, he's here.
But that's kind of why we want to talk about it, because you kind of came to us want to talk about this topic because it's something that gets. You know, again, it's like, it's one of those things where like, whenever you hear anything about trolls on the news, it's always just like, this troll is racist and all these negative comments and, you know, someone killed themselves because they're being bullied by people online, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's like this big, big negative thing. And if I can be completely transparent, when I heard that, you know, you were like, I'm a troll, can I be on your podcast? I was like, no. Like, why would I want to talk about that? Like, because again, it has such a negative connotation. And I think it's important to have this conversation, particularly if you're insisting that what trolling is being
perverted.
Like, yeah, exactly.
By the new generation.
It's usually really
trolls.
Perverted too, and I'm confused by that.
I was using that word in a different way.
I know, that's why. Turn it against
you. Don't make it blue. That's what Mike always says.
We're not working blue here, got it?
We're not working blue.
It's a family program, yeah.
There's not going to be any bad fucking language in this podcast, got it. All right, see, that's our F-bomb. See, we're like PG-13, yeah.
Two episodes.
That's good.
I burned through the first one. So, yeah,
nudity only. No penises.
No penises in ours.
Then we're going to be rated X. Okay.
So, anyway, yeah, you're right.
Making a man feel right at home.
Right? Yeah.
See dick pics all the time.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. So, we wanted to bring you on, Max, and just learn a little bit about trolling, because again, we all talk about or hear about it, but I don't think we ever hear from the inside, and so we want to know.
And it's something that I ultimately really know nothing about, actually.
Yeah.
You know, it's
you
hear a lot about it, but it's more like, oh, that's terrible, and then that's all I ever pay attention to. You know, I don't know anything about it. I don't think any of us do have any real.
Well, I just want to let the listeners know that I'm going to be asking the dumbest questions, because I literally, like, I don't even know about online. I don't have an Instagram. I'm in the Stone Age. I don't go on Tumblr. I've never been on Reddit. I don't know really what those things are. So I am like the baby boomer in this episode, trying to figure out what this dang newfangled internet is.
Tell me, how do I sign on to the AOL?
Yeah,
what do I do?
Basically, like, I know how to work my email. I have a Facebook. I'm not, you know, I'm not like an alien, but I don't know.
I'm a person.
I'm a person in the world, but I don't know anything about trolling.
I mean, Casey, I don't even know what Tumblr is either. It's a mystery to me.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go.
I feel so much less
you're
alone.
You're not alone, Casey. We all could probably learn more about the depths of the internet. So, Max, can you help us out with this? Can you teach us a little bit about trolling? And like you said, you're a self-proclaimed troll. So what does that even mean?
Right. So I guess part of the thing would be to just actually define what a troll is.
Okay.
And that's a terminology that's been changed and modified over time, especially as the internet has become much more of a mainstream phenomenon. I think for me, the way that I would ever describe what a troll is that it's kind of the fungus or the mold that grows on top of pop culture left out, out for a little too long. And what trolls do then is that they deteriorate that pop culture. They rebuild it into something else. They reconstruct it into some pretty fairly offensive monstrosity and then they unleash that onto an unsuspecting public and in an attempt to goad some type of reaction. And I mean, there's been a lot of ways of defining it in the past. I think Christopher Poole, the person who runs 4chan, he called it one time just being a troublemaker. And one of the things is it's interesting is that you guys kind of talked a little bit about trolls as like, you know, the Nordic monster or the thing that lives under the bridge. Yeah, and that's what people usually think about when they think about trolls. But actually, back in, I think the earliest rendition of troll, if you go back to the message boards back in 1992 when they were Usenet, something to that effect, troll was actually used as a definition, meaning like you're trolling for newbies, meaning more kind of like a phishing term.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You're trying to bait people basically and get, like you said, get that reaction.
Exactly.
And that makes total sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, it's changed over time. I mean, now you kind of have the Funny or Die sketch where Patton Oswalt like is literally like a troll, and, you know, and that's what people usually think of. And that's now kind of what you see in memes that are being generated talking about trolls. But originally in the past, I mean, when you talk about it, I think the formal definition was, is that it's somebody who offers nothing to a conversation, but does usually say something to incite a flame war or some type of argument from somebody who isn't around there that's new. And so they become the butt of a joke because they're beginning to become very passionate or antagonistic or angry, while everyone else involved in the message board or the community gets to be kind of in on the joke because they understand the person a little bit longer.
Okay.
And so it becomes more of a thing that like you're in on the troll or you're in on the joke. And then the person being trolled is like very much like, oh man, this is humiliating. You know, I've just been trolled. Like,
so it's kind of like a form of like internet hazing. Would you say
is it like initiation?
Kind of. I mean, it depends on like the different types of message boards. Cause I mean, when you're talking about early forms of trolling too, I mean, a lot of it will also be people that go on raids, which means that they go onto message boards, they make new accounts or something like that. And they basically just try to troll the individuals that are on that message board. So like one of the earliest renditions of it was, I think I one time went onto a message board where it was Star Wars fanatics and people were like talking about like the different types of lightsabers and stuff like that. And then like, you know, you go in there and just kind of like, well, you know, you guys are just like leaving out Spock's lightsaber. And I want to know, like, you know, what do you guys actually feel about them using a purple color? I mean, you know, are you kidding me? And then somebody invariably will respond saying Spock didn't have a lightsaber. That's Star Trek. And then you say, oh, wow. Oh, sorry. Why are you guys talking about Star Wars? Like, what's the point of like talking about like, this? Like, it's not even really a well put together movie. And then you just start getting them on this whole,
like, what?
Yeah. They start on a dog pile and they get into an argument. Someone says something like, oh, well, you know, Star Wars is so much better than Star Trek. And then someone's like, well, I wouldn't go that far. And then they get into their own argument. And then you just start this whole, you know, avalanche of.
You're like a chaotic neutral that just jumps just like into to drop a something
and then back away
to harken back to our D&D episode. Yeah. But you know, you Casey, just come in. Sorry.
No. Casey brought up a really funny example of that as someone who like does reviews of like Panera Bread.
Yeah.
And they just say like all this great stuff about Panera Bread. Like Panera Bread's super great, man. I just wish they had like soup. It'd be really cool if they had soup. And everyone's just like, dude, they sell soup. Yeah. And he just like continues on.
That's exactly
like,
it.
When are they going to offer up a soup to go with the sandwiches? And everyone's just like, what are you talking about? And he's just like,
that. No, exactly. That's the type that for me, that's kind of the high form of trolling or high trolling, if you will. If just a highbrow trolling in the sense that like, you know, the whole point is that you are not the aggressor, but you're the one being aggressed because people are taking themselves far too seriously on the internet. And that's how I originally became a troll is that for me, when you can even see at the very beginning of the internet, when you're going on AIM or AOL Instant Messenger or any of those different websites or message boards, you already saw people beginning to do what social media would take to like the final level, which is project an entity about themselves. You know, mm-hmm. I am knowledgeable about this. I am the beer nerd. I am the person who knows about Dune. I know all this other type of stuff. And, you know, you also see them kind of also sometimes like shitting on other individuals too.
Yeah.
And so for me, my whole incentive when I go in and I try to troll somebody is to make them feel as if they're not being taken as seriously as they want to be.
Okay. Yeah.
And so for me, like, for instance, I will go into like, when I was like a teenager, I went into, you know how they have like a Pictionary online. You can do Pictionary online. So someone like can draw like an image or something like that.
Sure.
And if you go into these forums, it's always a bunch of randos. And so one of them will be invariably some dude who is just critiquing people on their like their photos or something that, which like I think is also kind of funny in general. Just someone just being like, you know, how was I supposed to get hot fire hydrant from that? How was I supposed to get that at all? You just lost us like 800 points or something. Or someone's just like, you know, oh, you guys are really terrible at Pictionary or whatever.
Right.
Which I guess, you know, you can see that as a troll in and of itself. But for me, my favorite thing to do would be that when it was my turn to start just drawing an elephant. And just start drawing out the elephant. They're like, start typing elephant, elephant, elephant. And then like, I just start pointing at the top, at the, like the trunk. Right. And then just like, oh, trunk, elephant's trunk. And then I erase that and I try to point at the tusk and they're like, okay, tusk. Okay. It's a tusk. It's a tusk. And then the timer runs out and the answer is Alabama. and then they're just kind of like, what the room, man? Why did you do that? What did you there's nothing to do with that situation. And so for me, like, and you know, this is kind of more of a bygone era of trolling is, and it's kind of tongue in cheek and considered pretty normie and PG, but, my thing has always been that I think people take themselves far too seriously online and I always want to do things that kind of invert that.
Okay. Yeah.
So was that Pictionary game, like your introduction to trolling or was it earlier than that? I'm just curious, like, how did you get enmeshed in this world of trolling, because I mean, it sounds like you've been doing it for a little while.
Yeah. So I think if I kind of go back to where it started for me, I'm just terrible at games. Like I'm the worst. I can't do sports. I can't do board games. Like I lose constantly.
Okay.
And so it's never been the incentive for me to ever win. Cause I'm always kind of like really behind on just being able to win anything at all. So like, you know, in dodgeball or something like that. And then I found out when I was younger that, you know, it's so much more fun for me if I can take away the person's feeling that they've won. And so like at dodgeball or something like that, if they're like, you know, cheering that they just won, I'll just get the rest of my team to start cheering as if they won. And then the other groups, because you're all petty kids, like they just start getting angry about it. And for me, that's kind of where I started thinking, I can really get along with this. I can get along with frustrating people. Like that's kind of became the cornerstone of my comedy or like where I find humor. So, I mean, after that, I started doing Pictionary because I was like first when I was 13 years old, you go online, you do that.
Yeah.
And then I remember for my AOL Instant Messenger, I had my occupation and I just put down brain surgeon, just being a sarcastic 13, 14 year old. And
as we do.
Yes.
Yeah, as we all were.
And then I didn't realize this, but then you get a message. You sometimes get a random IM from somebody who just looks you up. And then they ask me like, you know, Hey, are you a brain surgeon? And, they typed it out that way. And so I wrote, I wrote no. And then they were just like, asshole. Like why would you just see me like that? You know, they would do something like that. They get angry or whatever. And then I was just like, oh, whoa, that's wild. You know, people are just going to come and randomly yell at you on the internet. And so for me,
did you respond? He's like, that response actually signifies an underdeveloped frontal lobe. And you're just like, okay, seriously, what are you? And he's like, I don't know.
If I were that clever, I probably would have. But I think for me, like that kind of got to the point where I was like, I kind of like just seeing how people can get so mad at anonymous people online.
Sure.
So, you know, in high school, what I ended up doing was that, you know, I had all the like students, like there were students who were like, you know, you had always the high school student that wanted to go to Stanford or like you had the one who really wanted to go to really good school and stuff.
That might have been me.
Okay.
I may or may not have been Casey. So I'm looking at my Hermione wand right now. So just gonna leave that there.
So for me, when I started, so what I used to do is I used to go on Wikipedia and I used to write Wikipedia pages about some of the go-getters. Funny. But then I would like write like really like, you know, insipid stuff. So I just like write like, you know, so like, you know, this person right here, you know, he's the son of so-and-so and like, you know, they have this in San Luis Obispo or something like that. Or, and then I would say that like, for instance, they, keep like a den full of like little children that they will like let out every once in a while that will nibble at their like kneecaps or something like that.
Oh my God.
He calls them as little minnows. Like, you know, just like some like random, like weird stuff like that. Or like, you know, his smile causes like sudden infant death syndrome or something like that.
Oh my God.
Weird, outlandish thing. And then he will like find it invariably on like Wikipedia or something. Cause we're like, we're doing like a research project on the town. And so he would find it there and he'd just be like, who put this here? And he's like, freaking out. Cause he's like, this is going to hurt. They're going to be able to Google this and they're going to be able to like, you know, Stanford's going to realize that like I have minnows or something like that. Or like, what are they going to do? And so like, and that for me gave me so much joy. Just like watching somebody who, you know, tried to be the best at everything at the expense of other people, rubbed it in people's faces. And like, you could just take that away from them immediately. Like online, there's just this great equilibrium that you can just like, basically, no matter where you were on the food chain in real life, it almost felt like you were going to another city. Like you can actually right. reinvent yourself as this other entity. And I think that's where a lot of people, they eventually got into trolling and they got into the more aggressive aspects of it, because you could invert, you know, how marginalized you feel in society. And then you can take it out on other folks, you know, I mean, and at the end of the day, I mean, like that can also be seen as its own form of bullying. Just, absolutely.
That's what I was going to ask.
Just so we're clear right now, Wikipedia doesn't let you do that anymore, right?
No, you can still write.
Yeah, you can still write articles.
But like, it's now like to the point where like
heavily moderated.
It's heavily moderated, right?
Yeah.
This was in 2006 and 2006. You could do that, and then they would sometimes ban you if you did too many times. Like, I got my school banned just because I would do it on all the different computers. But even then, it was still pretty difficult. Like, you'd have to, like, keep on doing it multiple times because a moderator would come by every three hours and then, you know, kick it out. But, you know, they've always had issues with people just making new articles and editing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But back to what you were saying. So I was doing research because I hate coming into things like not knowing anything because I'm a Ravenclaw. And so I was looking stuff up about trolling, and I came across this why do people do this? And it's something called like the online disinhibition effect. I guess it's like a psychological term, but it's like the anonymity, invisibility, lack of authority, and not communicating in real time strips away those morals that like we build up as we talk face to face.
Right.
Yeah. So it kind of, it is a level playing field in that like everybody is anonymous online, and for better or for worse. And in this instance, that was a for worse, you know, it causes people to like throw away their social mores and things we built up over millennia. But you know, it also can take somebody down who in real life doesn't live by those social mores that we build up too.
True. So. And Louis C.K. has I think in the show, no, one of his stand up bits or something, like he talks about, or maybe it was on a talk show, but he talks about like, that's one of the big problems with like kids nowadays, is because they didn't, a lot of them now, it's like so much of their life is online. Like so much of their life is like they text all the time. And like, he's like, when you were a kid, like, and you saw a kid and you like went up to him, like, hey, you're fat. And like the kid, you saw the kid go like, oh, and you could see on their face, like how much that hurt them. And you went like, oh, I didn't want to do that, you know, but like now online, you go, hey, you're fat. You never get to see them. You never get to see. So like, it takes away the kind of like blowback that you feel from actually seeing what you're doing to people. And I think that's like one of the biggest problems with online. Is that a concern you like that, the kind of effect you're having, but like, that you're kind of skewed because you never actually get to see what the way you're affecting people?
I think, yeah, I think that that's definitely something that I consider. And I think that there's a lot of other folks that I socialize with that I know who do the same type of stuff. And they think about that as well. And I think that the answers that you're going to get are very different. For a lot of them, I know there's a lot of folks who have been doing it for now, maybe 10, 12 years or something. And they're just addicted. They're just addicted to the fact that, I mean, I think you're right. You're absolutely right with that type of, you know, displacement that you feel, especially because in the internet is like a coffee shop that everyone can sit in, and you have millions of people, but everyone's an earshot. And that's the kind of thing is that the idea that you can have a snarky side conversation, or if you can say something terrible about somebody else, they can actually look that up and then they can confront you about that stuff. And then you have these like really like weird dynamics that have never existed beforehand. And I mean, for me, again, and maybe this is also maybe a good point where we kind of talk a little bit about the history of like where trolling comes from. But I think that you're right. The element that somebody's going to get offended or someone's going to get hurt has always been part of trolling. I mean, because the whole point of it is that you're trying to make somebody angry.
Yeah.
But I guess it's the kind of the level and the intent behind what you're doing that plays into that
Exactly.
I mean, there's a really, we'll post a link. There's a super funny SNL skit that they do recurring where they'll have like people who are trolls get confronted in real life with like the people that they're making fun of. And it's always super funny because the people who are trolling them are always like, yeah, I wouldn't say that to you in your face, but it's like funnier because it's Melissa McCarthy doing it. So she's hilarious.
Okay. Right.
You know, I didn't adequately, we'll post a link. It's really funny, but it's just kind of like that takes away that anonymity. Is am I saying that right?
Anonymity.
Anonymity. What?
It's a C, anonymity.
Anonymity.
It's, yeah, that's right.
Okay. It takes away that word from.
Right.
From the interaction, and it's just kind of a funny skit.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. So yeah, it'd be cool to get into like the history. Like we've talked about some of the early days and the Wild West of Wikipedia and all of that, but how did we get to where we are today, which is like I think now we all look at it a little bit more.
Well, you said like 1992?
Well, 1992 being
the internet existed back then.
Well, you had Usenet forums, and that was kind of the precursor to the message forums that you would have in the past.
Okay.
And but in general, that's kind of what the original term or that first time we've ever used saw like troll being used. And
right. Yeah.
Now, I mean, if I were to kind of describe every different political group or interaction or stuff that's going on in trolling history, I'm going to look like Russ Cole from True Detective with like the huge board with like all the push pins pointed
it
here.
All connects.
Exactly.
This group's over this group and this group's over there.
And there are people who do that and they are psychos. And I'm not interested in doing that. So, I mean, just my perspective is my perspective.
Sure.
It's one that I've observed just like going on all these different sites and having interacted with these folks. But again, if you ask another troll, they're going to have a different probably opinion because I think your purpose for doing trolling is a very personal reason. So without further ado, I guess one of the things we might want to talk about is just that I think that trolling kind of became like found a home or a niche in sites that at the very beginning of popular internet, which are, I think people know E-Bombs World and, you know, Newgrounds and all those stuff, which were kind of hotbeds for a lot of internet humor, the videos you watch, basically all the kind of childish iconoclasm that you're into when you're younger. There was another site called Something Awful, and Something Awful, I would argue, is probably one of the most influential websites when it comes to internet humor out there. A lot of the people that were working on Something Awful and were the different types of like Photoshop and all the different types of images and stuff, those became the precursor to memes that people would start sharing. Thin Man. I think that, what was the other one? All Your Base Are Belong to Us. Like all these different small types of memes that are really old. They originated there, and they ended up getting copied and placed on E-Bombs World, or they would become inspired for like new content that was on Newgrounds. And so like, and then eventually these people would eventually move out from Something Awful. And a lot of these people became the precursors to the famous Weird Twitter accounts that you would see later on, like now today, like Drill and Kushbomb and all these other groups. But I think that Something Awful, the person that probably is one of the most influential figures that browsed the site was Christopher Poole. Christopher Poole founded another website called 4chan, and I think that Something Awful started in 1999 and 4chan started in 2003. And one of the interesting things that happened at Something Awful was that it got placed at the very beginning of its time, like on a spam list. So there was an organization that actually like pointed out which websites were filled with spam and you should not clog the tunnels of the internet or whatever. And Something Awful was placed on there. So the editors of Something Awful wanted their whole crowd to go and talk to, people over at Spews. I think that was the name of the organization, and say, hey, take it off the list. This is one of the places we want to, work on. And Something Awful already cultivated this kind of culture of people just like contacting the editors and just being like, put it back on the whitelist or we're going to fuck you up or something like that. Oh, or like they'll start sending like, and then they started doing a denial of service attack, which I don't know if you guys know what it is.
No idea.
Nope.
So whenever you access a site, like when you go on a browser and you access a site, you're requesting information from that website, which brings up the page. So denial of service attack is like when you can automate requests for information from a server so many times, like on thousands and thousands and thousands of times, to the point where like it just shuts down the website. So it's kind of like the net equivalent of like knocking down your neighbor's mailbox or something like that. Like they're incapable of distributing content or whatever.
Interesting.
And so they threatened Spews with that, and then like Something Awful was like, don't do that. We're trying to get on the white list. You can't do this to us. And so that kind of was like one of the first times I've like ever like, you know, heard about a raid happening where people were just like contacting folks, just being like, why are you trying to shut down our site? And then, so after that, Christopher goes on and he makes 4chan. And 4chan.
Christopher Poole.
Christopher Poole. Yeah, okay. Christopher Poole. So he goes on, he makes 4chan. And 4chan was supposed to be stylized as the message board, similar to ones that were in Japan, like 2chan, which, like, you know, feature, like, you know, anime video, photos and things to that effect.
Okay.
And one of the interesting things that was about 2chan that I think he wanted to emulate was the fact that every user was anonymous. So you had this kind of just anonymous statement. So instead of like a typical message board where you would put up, you know, your username, you put up like a little avatar or something to that effect, every post was anonymous. And so any time when you posted the content up there, it would just say anonymous posted this. And so I think that was one of the fundamental layers of what developed the culture that developed on 4chan, which I mean, you know, I don't know if any of you guys ever frequented 4chan ever.
Nope.
Not really.
I've heard about it, but again, it's mostly been negative stuff.
Stay away.
I did once and I left really quickly.
You loved it?
Yeah. Left it really quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, you left it. Oh, I would say that. Yeah, I loved it.
I was like, Dylan, really? I was
like, is it bad that I was just like, yeah, he probably would.
Yeah. This, I mean, you know, I'm not going to like pull any punches about it. Like, you know, there's a lot of offensive stuff on there, a lot of sexist, racist things. And I mean, you know, and that's.
Is 4chan still a website that exists?
Yes. Okay. Yes. It's still a website and it's still a very active one. Around this time, this was also the place where all the kind of memes that you would think about, lolcats, you know, advice dog, or all these other different types of ones that you started thinking, or you start reading about like years on later, these were, they started percolating and developing.
Yeah.
And so you kind of, and there was kind of this culture that developed in 4chan where if you posted a picture and then people could upvote or downvote it, you started seeing these permutations happening over and over again. Of, you know, what, you know, how to make this meme better, how to make this image better, how does advice dog become like intense dog, where he's like, you know, yo, courage is the only thing you need, or whatever, or
right,
others of the business, scumbag Steve, like all these other images start getting filtered in, and people start adding these kind of like, you know, lores to them, mini lores, like, you know, awkward penguin or something like that, you know, yeah. He shows up and then, like, you know, he does something where, like, you know, he, you know, leaves the toilet seat up or down, he doesn't know what to do, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so all this stuff starts coming out of like, you know, it starts developing in 4chan. And, you know, because of the culture, I think that there was never anyone who could claim that they were a meme master. So it was like, was the content better than anybody else's? And so I think memes were kind of like this very powerful vehicle through which, like, later on, I think around 2008 or so, that's when, you know, it started capturing people's minds about like what's going on over there. Or like, what is the internet, when they start seeing just these random photos and they mean a whole bunch of things that, like, you're already supposed to know, but
yeah,
you know,
right.
Cause that's the thing, is that a great meme is one that you take a look at it and you know exactly what it's supposed to be about. And then like the caption, like, hits it, is the punchline.
Right.
So anyway, so like, you know, that's 4chan. So they develop and it's like, you know, and right, for the most part, like, you're right, there's a lot of these kind of like, there's these straight up harassment, you know, issues that start happening, you know.
Well, particularly on 4chan, like, I if I remember correctly, I can't remember one of the many shootings that we've had in the country, like, people have, like, posted on 4chan, like, should I do this? And people have been like, yeah, go shoot up that school or something like that.
Right.
And then he went and did it. And then, and again, this is kind of a whole other conversation of, like, is there, like, a responsibility there of, like, 4chan and stuff like that, and these kind of sites being like this kind of like rampant trolling, you know, or rampant, I guess, encouragement of things. And it's like, because that gets in the whole censorship, you know, conversation.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I mean, that's freedom of speech.
Yeah, exactly. And I but mean, it's like one of these things. It's like, yeah, it's, and again, that's a completely different conversation. But that's,
well,
mostly,
I think it's tied in. I don't think it's a totally separate conversation. It's just a larger.
Yeah.
We could devote a whole other podcast to it.
And that,
sure.
Not that we're accusing you of if anything like that, obviously, because
no.
We wouldn't have you here if we
Nick,
yeah,
no.
Were.
Nick, no, I think you're talking about the organ shooter. There. I literally
maybe,
just
yeah.
Google
I just distinctly
right
remember one on 4chan
yeah.
asking, so, should sure. I do this? And definitely got like yeses by a right. lot of people, and then went and
by
did
people
it,
who
know?
Like maybe don't take it seriously or just like goofing around, and then something happens.
But again, that ties them back into like the mm-hmm. repercussions of what
sure
a lot of these like really like harassment, like what you were about to start talking about. Again, it's very easy, and that's why the anonymous nature of the internet is like great, because I think it gives a lot of people a voice when they probably would be too embarrassed or shy or whatever
right.
to have it. But then it also decent points, like, oh, this person's kind of racist, and so now they have a voice. Yeah. You know?
Or explicitly. I think that maybe that's the goal of the internet, is to give everybody a voice. But I feel like trolling has gotten to this point where people are self-censoring before they post because they're afraid of getting trolled and they don't want to.
Yeah.
Because I did that throughout the entire election season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that it's interesting that you guys talk about that, because there was a sociologist, Whitney Phillips, who studies trolls. Like, that's one of her things. Are stuff.
Oh my God, how fascinating.
And, she actually has a book called This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things. And it's, I honestly think it's a really great investigation into what trolls are, because she does this, she talks about this, and, you know, with 4chan, and we'll get into it, I guess, a little bit in a little bit here, but there is this difference. And I think that there's one that she strikes out that I'm willing to co-sign as well, is that I think there's a difference between what a troll is, where a troll kind of like suggests that there's this levity to it. Like, there is something that it's done for the sake of a joke. Yeah, like, there's supposed to be a joke that's supposed to be going on. And then there's something that's like directly harassment, or a death threat, or something that actually endangers someone's life or makes them afraid to talk about things online. And, you know, for me, in the way that she writes it, and I agree with her, is that we shouldn't be calling that stuff trolling. And actually the media does a disservice by calling that kind of stuff, where like, if someone's like shouting at you that, like, you know, you're whatever, you're calling that trolling. I think that's just harassment, and you should just call it harassment.
Sure.
And I think that like leads to a much more clearer discussion about what's going on. Cause like you said, with the stuff about free speech is that the reason why I'm anonymous, is because I used to try to interact with political figures and journalists on Twitter and try to, like, say, you know, I think that you're being a little dishonest in your conversation. And I mean, you know, and when, you know, they would ignore me, or what I would notice is that they would ignore other people who agreed with me. And so what I would end up doing, like, or what they would end up doing, is that they would try to share one of our pieces out of context and in Twitter, cause you can do that, cause it's just people talking to each other and it's small snippets, and they would share that and say, oh, well, you know, this person, you know, is saying a very problematic thing, or they're saying something that's, you know, very, very racist or whatever, when it was clearly taken out of context. And I would see them just dogpile one of my friends or something like that, you know?
Oh, okay.
And, you know, and for me, or just see like a lot of people just saying, like, why did you say this thing? And he said, well, I didn't say that thing. And so for me, it's kind of always been that I became anonymous, if only because I wanted to be able to say things, and be rude and vulgar, to people who I think are very disingenuous intellectually online. And I think for a lot of folks, or at least for a lot of trolls, it may not be what it is. Like, I think there's a lot of like personal issues that goes into a lot of trolling.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think a lot of them come from the perspective, and I'm not trying to excuse all this stuff, but they're coming from the perspective that this person I'm coming at is more powerful than me, and I want to do something to take them down a notch, you know?
Sure. Level the playing field a little bit.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that that's where you kind of get this idea that, you know, people are most aggressive trollers. I think it's interesting. It's timely because I know Lindy West, a writer for The Guardian, just recently left Twitter because she said it's only for trolls. But she famously confronted somebody who was calling, who was like attacking her online because, you know, her dad died.
Oh, I read about that.
Yeah. And so she confronted the person.
The person made an account of her dead dad and kept on following her and saying stuff to her.
Right. And so she wrote about it, and, you know, the person responded back saying that, you know, I honestly did not realize this is what I was doing to you. And he was actually flat out honest about, I think in a later conversation that they did on This American Life, where he said that, you know, I didn't like what you were saying, cause you seemed like you were comfortable with yourself. And, you know, and I think that that's for like a lot of things, this kind of harassment that you're talking about. It comes from, like, you know, I think it's a lot of if I want to like make it my own opinion, it's white male rage. Like, it's a lot of like angst. And I think that's what's changed the culture of trolling from where it was, which it was problematic, and it had a lot of, like, you know, really terrible things have happened, kids committing suicide, things, you know, of all that nature. But it got something where the humor got lost, and it became something where you are taking, you know, the image of someone's dad, which for me, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I don't find humor in that, you know,
But isn't that ultimately the problem with trolling generally, is that humor is very subjective. And so even if you are, what is it? What do they say? Like doing it for the lulz or whatever.
Yeah.
So the internet term.
Did it all for the lulz.
But like, so say you go on and you think it's super funny to like throw around the N word a bunch of times. And then somebody else comes in and is like, I don't think that's funny at all. I was called that growing up repeatedly and it traumatized me.
Right.
So it's like, it's a problem in comedy. It's a problem in a lot of fields. It's like, sense of humor is subjective, and so it's hard to like kind of build a like those are those trolls and these are these trolls, because there's a blur and a big gray area where it all crosses over, because you know somebody thinks something's funny that someone else really doesn't.
Well, you know, you're right, and I think that it's a difficult line to draw, especially because when you're dealing with those types of you're right, it's very hard to kind of get at this idea of like what is actually the humor behind it. And for me, what I deal with, or what I struggle with, or I mean, it's not really a struggle. You know, I'm a troll. You know, if people don't mess with me, I mess with people. But it's that I think the question for me is that no matter how I want to define troll, like if I want to define troll as a specific thing, that like it is me trying to goad a reaction out of you and do all this type of business, whether I like it or not, around 2011, 2012, when like, you know, media became, where the internet became mainstream, you had all these media figures who come in, and when they hear troll, they hear that as a very opportunistic term to be able to describe all these people that are yelling obscenities at them. Because, and that's how troll became such a much broader term that is used to define anything now. Mm-hmm. If you're a supporter of Donald Trump or anything to that fact online,
just anyone who opposes you.
Well, it's just like anybody who says something foul or vulgar or terrible out there. And I think that, and so for me, it's hard because I have to grapple with the fact that even though I have my definition of troll, it is now there's a public consensus that troll also includes all the rest of this baggage.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I think that you're right. I mean, there is kind of this, there are those things where people are, you know, shouting like, you know, the N word, hard R, towards other people. And, you know, I don't find that funny, because for me, I think that there's a vulgarity that you can have that's still inclusive in a way. You know, I think that there's a vulgarity where you're targeting like, you know, a certain individual, and you know, I don't want to get highfalutin about it, but you know, vulgarity has always had a place in the public sphere since like, you know, revolutionary France. You know, they would talk about like, you know, French Enlightenment papers or something to that effect, and you know, in the middle of them would be also these like smut, you know, writings about how like, you know, the queen or like a duchess or something like that is riding like a penis ostrich or something like that. And like, for me, like, that's the kind of vulgarity that I like. I like this idea that like you take people who, you know, see themselves as serious and highfalutin, and you bring them down a bit. And I think that there is something to parse in that. I just don't know, you know, whether trolling does get to go back to that, you know?
Has it gone to a point of no return? I don't know.
So Max, I think that this is a great segue into sort of the question of how Twitter specifically allows trolls to connect to public figures and take them down a bit.
Well, you know, and you know, before this, trolls were interacting with public entities and organizations. So, I mean, the biggest thing during the golden years of trolling, they call it the golden years of 4chan, basically, 2008 to 2011, I would say. You had to kind of start with like Project Chanology, which was basically 4chan going after Scientology or the Church of Scientology for what they considered for like very weird practices of suing people who are not part of like, you know, the organization anymore, things to that effect. Stuff that they felt was like really limiting on free speech and not being able to talk about it, because they're all about free speech.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did this whole DDoS attack. They demonstrated in front
DDoS?
It's just denial of service. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, the term from before, sorry, I didn't mention this. It's distributed denial of service.
DDoS.
So you had that. So like, you know, they had that, and that was kind of like one of the things that put 4chan on the map, was the idea that they went after the Church of Scientology for a pretty like left wing ideology, which people really originally associated them with.
Which then, nobody had done before, because Scientology is so powerful. So the fact that they were like,
right,
we'll take you on, assholes. And Scientology is like, we'll get all our lawyers. And they're like, internet doesn't care.
The internet doesn't care.
That's true.
And they even had a declaration of war video that they made with somebody, like we're talking about Anonymous being like, we are Legion. You do not know where we are. We are all around you. And it's like, you know, we do not forgive. We do not forget. Expect us. And so, and that became like the term that everyone remembers from Anonymous whenever they do these videos. We don't forgive. We do not forget. Expect us. And so they do all the, and then Anonymous became its own political entity where like goes off and does stuff. It's like, you know, it supported Black Lives Matter. It supported a lot of like left wing causes and stuff. And then you had also like, and then like later on, like you also had other public engagement where like Justin Bieber does like, you know, a vote or something like that. And, you know, they want you to vote to like where he's going to go next, you know, where is he going to hit?
Yeah.
And, you know, and like trolls were really well known for like getting North Korea to be the number one choice. So they're going to try to push like Justin Bieber to do a show in North Korea.
I think they did that. They like had some like Walmart thing.
No, where it was
Pitbull
for,
had
it was,
to perform at a Pitbull Walmart and they chose Alaska. Like Alaska.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he went through and did it. But I was like
a boss.
Yeah.
Like a boss.
That's pretty solid.
Kind of trolling. You know, I'm pretty down for it. I'm not going to lie. Cause at that point it's just like, cause a lot of these like online competitions, like you vote what the next flavor of da-da-da is going to be. It's like a lot of it's like, oh, just pick it.
We have Chuck Norris jokes as a direct result of that.
Yeah.
It was like a write-in option for who you want to like have these jokes about. Everyone
but even
wrote Chuck
like,
Norris.
I can't be too mad at like trolls in that way because like Stephen Colbert is technically a troll. Cause I remember they were like, you're going to pick the next, like next name of the next US shuttle. And like, so on his show on the Colbert Report every single night, he's like, let's make it the USS Colbert. And like, it had like 90% of the vote and they were going to have to, so they just shut down the competition. Cause like, we're not naming our next shuttle the USS Colbert.
And that for me is like the stuff I get fun with is that,
oh, that's idea, great. Yeah.
When companies or like public or like, you know, corporations or companies try to act like they're just kind of like a normal everyday guy.
We're
or
people
something.
Like you. Yeah. Yeah.
And this kind of just like smacks him in the face saying that, you know, we see through, you know, you trying to be, you wanting to be serious online.
Your
you want to be taken seriously online.
Yeah.
But anyway, so to Dylan's point, I think what ended up happening in about 2011, 2012, like after the golden age, the post golden age, there is a lot of things that were going on politically inside of 4chan. 4chan has a lot of different separate forums on it. B is the most well-known. That's where all the memes came from.
Oh, okay.
There's also ones like Poll, which is politically incorrect. Mew was for music. And these all had their own independent like reasons for existing. Like Christopher was making these because he wanted to like silo off some people because like you had some like right-wing ideologues and neo-Nazis actually like posting stuff in like the news section because they're just like, you know, hey, do you see what fiat currency is doing? And like a lot of like Alex Jones stuff. And so like he'd try to silo them off and he'd try to silo off even like bronies. Like bronies eventually came into 4chan and he gave them their own channel because they were just taking over everything and then they were being trolled by other people because it's bronies. And and so like, you know, so there was that going on. But at the same time, you notice that Twitter was becoming a much larger entity that was beyond Silicon Valley. It was that you had media figures like really beginning in earnest to use it as a way to promote their material. You had comedians beginning to start using it as a way to advertise themselves. And so like you had people just kind of like, you know, you'd have like a media intern or something from DC who's writing for Slate or whatever. And they write, you know, some article and they're like, okay, so I wrote a thing. This is my think piece about like, you know, Tony the Tiger getting caught in a junk food sex war with like, you know, Jester the Cheetah, something I saw on 4chan or whatever, or Tumblr. And you know, say how like, you know, this is problematic or like, this is like, you know, what does it say about like, you know, gender dynamics. And so like you see this start coming up and then you start seeing also this percolating of like trolls moving from 4chan because of these political issues. They move over to Reddit and then they start moving over to Twitter. And you notice at this time, Reddit takes a pretty hard right turn. Like there's a lot of like this stuff coming out where, you know, you see like men just like, well, men usually shout over women in general, like unfortunately.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. But like you start seeing this being a lot more aggressive. And then like on top of that, then like once you start like seeing this like move over into Twitter, you have media people who are not used to having someone shout at you for, you know, whatever you wrote online, directly and constantly like 24/7. And so, I mean, for me, it's a pet theory, but it's a theory that I share with like a lot of other trolls and other accounts that I know on Twitter where it's, and there's actually an article written by Jesse Single about, this type of issue, how trolls won the election. The 2016 election.
Oh, wow.
In the sense that this now new interaction between media figures where they see these people who are yelling and shouting stuff, you know, they say like, oh, well, who are these people? And then they like start doing research like, oh, well, they must be trolls or they're people who are trying to troll me. They're trying to say all these mean things to me. And so now you have these like things where like, you know, Hillary Clinton does a speech about Pepe the Frog or the alt-right and like how these trolls are, you know, the soldiers of Trump's army and all this business. And I think that because media spends so much time on Twitter.
Wait, what's Pepe the Frog?
So Pepe the Frog it's a cartoon. It's a cartoon frog that I think got featured, if I remember correctly. Yeah, it was on. It was from this comic series called Boys Club by this guy, Matt Fury. And, you know, it's kind of like a stoner comic, you know. Yeah. Pepe the Frog is a guy who likes eating sandwiches and stuff. And he's like, feels good, man. Like, he just, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, he likes munchies and he hangs out. And yeah, and he's a popular, he was a popular 4chan mainstay. Like, there was this thing where you make rare Pepes where you would invert the image of Pepe into a lot of different ways. Like, you know, depressed Pepe, you know, like different types of Pepes. And then what ended up becoming very popular among one of the 4chan boards was making a neo-Nazi Pepe. And neo-Nazi Pepe ended up being like the image of the alt-right. Like when people think of Trump or they think of all these images, they associate Pepe with that. And Fury, who made the comic, is like completely distraught by this because he's like,
right,
I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter. Like, I believe in like love and like working together. And like, this is a complete abomination. So, I mean, so now you're getting like all these journalists who are getting like, you know, really like terrible things written at them. And so they talk about trolls being like this huge element inside of society. And, you know, I mean, you know, if I were to talk about the alt-right, I don't even know how many alt-right people are old enough to vote. Like, cause a lot of these are kids. And the other half, I don't even know if like, you know, they even go outside or like if they're capable of going outside.
Okay.
You know, it's like, so, I mean, I think that there is kind of this blowing out of disproportion of like the role trolls can have in society. Because journalists are constantly harangued by these folks, and that's what they write about, you know, because that's right. A lot easier than, and I'm not to like hate on journalists for the most part, but you know, there's not a lot of money in investigative reporting anymore. And there's not a lot of like, you know, a lot of like money available to do interviews and travel to places. So yeah, people who use Twitter as kind of a crutch to be able to do this kind of knee jerk reporting, because they can just get a quote from someone from their account. And I think that's very much skewed the way that people see trolls, and then also skews just the role trolls have actually in, you know, everyday life.
Yeah. No, damn. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
You mentioned weird Twitter earlier in the podcast, and I don't understand what that means.
So weird Twitter and weird Twitter isn't necessarily filled with trolls per se.
Okay.
A lot of them do have an overlap, but the idea is that they make statements because Twitter lends itself to having such short, succinct phrases. They do these kind of like experimental like words of punctuation and stuff just to try to make things funny. And I think one of the best examples of that is drill. Drill is like the one that people always talk about.
Drill, like a gun, like a drill gun?
D-R-I-L with one L.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he's got, and so like what he does is that he does like, you know, phrases, for example, where he's like, you know, just another day at the Betsy Ross Museum. Someone asked me if I could fuck the flag, if he could fuck the flag. Buddy, they don't even let me fuck it, or something like that. Okay. Which is just like this like weird abstract statement. Or like he'll say like, you know, I think he has like, for instance, like food, $200, rent, you know, $300, data, $50, candles, $3,000. Someone who's good at the economy, help me budget this. My family is dying.
Oh my God.
And so like, you know, that's kind of like the weird kind of like, you know, Twitter kind of like reality that they have. But there is kind of this other group of it that's kind of come out. It's fairly recent, called Irony Twitter, or Irony Bros, which includes also ladies as well. We all just go say Irony Bros. And those types of folks, they definitely like, sometimes they take on like an anonymous persona. Sometimes they're actually very public about it. But their persona has always been that they kind of come from a much more progressive background, and they do have this kind of like weird Twitter personality. But at the same time, like they're always like constantly haranguing, you know, people and like celebrities, or they're haranguing, other individuals saying that like, you know, oh, you did something that's a little disingenuous, or like, you know, they're willing to kind of call people on stuff. I think one of the things that came out of Irony Twitter or some other things is the Ted Cruz is a Zodiac killer kind of thing. If you guys remember.
Oh my
that.
God.
So the idea was, is that someone eventually started saying, God, I can't believe that Ted Cruz is a Zodiac killer. And he's gone this far in the primary. and then people started like, you know, doing this thing where like, you know, they were just saying like, you know, I can't believe. And so like, and then other folks would jump in being kind of like, you know, he was born in Calgary. the first two victims of the Zodiac Killer were named Cal and Gary, which is not true.
Right.
And like, and Ted Cruz is like a Gen Xer. Like, he was like maybe three when these killings were happening. Yeah. But like, that didn't stop, like, for instance, me saying, like, you know, hey, you know, good luck in the debate tonight, Ted, you know, we're counting on you, or something like that, you know, at the debate. And then Ted Cruz, like, you know, the account responds, thanks. And I was like, also, can you explain this? And I show like a logo of Ted Cruz, and then I just switch it around so that way it just says True Zodiac. And then people kept on tweeting at Ted Cruz supporters, like, can you explain this? And it shows like at an Orchard Supply Hardware, someone switched around like the like little like signs to say Ted Cruz is Zodiac Killer.
Right.
Or like when he announced Carly Fiorina as her as his running mate, he's like, you realize when you mix those words together, Carly Fiorina and Ted Cruz, it says truly our Zodiac, right? And, like, and so you had that. And that's kind of like a kind of more of like their blend of humor.
But did people start believing that Ted Cruz was a Zodiac killer at any point?
I don't think anyone ever did. I think it was just more of the push. And that, and like that also has its own history. Like Dan Savage, who's a popular columnist from Seattle, he has his Savage Love podcast and stuff. And, you know, I think several years back, you know, Rick Santorum, a Republican senator, you know, had like a pretty staunchly, you know, I honestly would say homophobic line. He probably would say it's pro-family, you know, whatever,
right.
Whatever yeah. you want yeah. to say that. Yeah. But Dan Savage decided to do something where he's like, well, you know, what we can do in the gay community is that we can make Santorum a slang word for the mix of semen and fecal matter that happens after anal sex.
Gosh.
And so they made a website called Spreading Santorum, and they had the definition, and they made it to a thing where if you look up Rick Santorum or Google Rick Santorum, you know, when he was running, it was the thing, first thing came up was like Spreading Santorum.
Wow.
And you know, all these bad images. And so it became a Google problem where like Santorum had to try to figure out ways to like, and it hamstrung him during the campaign because he couldn't say go Google Santorum. Like, he had to say explicitly, go to this website. Yeah. Do not look me up on a search engine. You need to go to this website or you're going to see all this other business. And for me, like, that's kind of like the heart of a troll for me is that yeah. like, you're getting somebody, you're knocking them off of the pedestal that they use in order to, you know.
But that's like trolling for good. Like,
yeah.
You know, because yeah. you're like taking something. I mean, well, in our turn, in my term, because I'm a progressive leftist, like person.
Totally.
To me, that I'm like, they're trolling for the good.
Robin Hood trolling it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and I will say, like, I think, you know, your Panera Bread example is one of my favorite. It is great because there's another guy called Ken M, who has a Tumblr called Horsey Surprise, and I love
yes.
him because he does the most. Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
I definitely know Ken M.
So basically what he does is that he goes on to Yahoo comments, like the Yahoo comments section, and he's so well studied. He's honestly, I think he's probably my favorite troll. He's like in the Hall of Fame. He's like the one I'm saying.
Right,
like he is the troll's troll. And what he does is that he is able to perfectly emulate like a 76-year-old or like an octogenarian, like well-meaning idiot. Where he just sits there and he just like, when there's like something about like Olive Garden or something like that, he's like, Olive Garden is rigged. You know, they don't give you nearly enough noodles. You know, they just promotion. They don't give you nearly enough noodles. They skimp on them. And the guy in one of the comment will respond, you mean they just give you more meat and that's like ripping you off? And it's like, no, they only give you two or three noodles or something like that to their mix. Totally less. And then the person's like, Ken, that's stupid. Like, it doesn't matter if the same mass. And he just gets them on this whole like, down the rabbit hole kind of conversation. Or like he'll do stuff like that. Or like he'll like go on to Facebook for Gerber Baby and he's like, where can we get the baby kibble? And then Gerber Baby, because they make these Facebook pages because they want to be treated like your friend.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
want to
interact with the people. Yeah.
So like Gerber Baby will then respond, hi Ken, contact us at this phone number and you know maybe we'll help you address it. He's like, good, thank you. I hope eventually I can get the baby kibble I could get at the pet store in the future or something like
oh
that. Yeah, like, you know, force kind of like people to like deal with the fact that like they want to be taken in this way, but he's like, no, I'm going to take you in this way specifically. And he always described it as kind of like bringing a banana to a gunfight. And for me, like, he's just like, he's the best at it because he never says anything deeply malicious, but he's able to get people to savagely hate him.
Right.
Like that he's the worst person in the world. And for me, like that's kind of the inversion I like, is that when you force somebody to be something they don't want to be online, that's and it actually reveals how they actually are. That's a solid troll. But
sure. Can I ask, like,
Yeah.
Like a hardball question.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But like, so I, as you know, your definition of trolling is something that I think we can all agree is something we want more of. We think it's funny. We all go online and we think it's funny. But like, is there a, in your view, is there a way that, people who are like true trolls like you, and I'm sure that there's a whole community of people, can ever get it back to what it was or what you would like it to be ideally?
Well, so, I mean, you know, and I'll respond honestly. No, I don't think that's going to be possible. And here's the other thing is that trolling, you know, I'm giving a very rosy image of trolling because there's the things I see that I really like about it. And I phase out all the, you know, the racist stuff, the sexist stuff, the homophobia. But that was always part of trolling. That was one of the problems. And that, you know, I mean, and I'll be honest, you know, when I was younger, you know, I, you know, said stuff online that I'm not particularly proud of. But like you said that, like, you know, that stuff, you know, iron my shirt or whatever. That was 20, 45 years ago. The sad thing was, is that people were still saying that. And they were saying that much more frequently only 8 years ago. People forget that like 2006 and 2008 was very conservative compared to now. And so I think the thing is that there's the communities that like kind of like have organized around trolling or like kind of know each other through trolling. First of all, like they don't like being associated in groups. They do their own thing. And yeah, I don't think they would ever want to police. But at the same time is that I think that, you know, trolling was, you know, does have some like, you know, nasty attributes to it. And it was that way from the outset, because the point is that you're trying to make sure someone doesn't have a good time. And,
right.
And, so there, yeah, there's like a meanness inherent.
Yeah. There's a meanness inherent to it. And, you know, I wish honestly that, I mean, like, you know, there's a lot of things that like, you know, I regret saying when I was younger. I wish I regretted as much as the stuff that I say now or anything like that, as much as I do. But I enjoy it because for me, I think that there used to be a tradition, and I'm not trying to glamorize it, but there was a tradition of punching up and trolling that I think was lost. And you know, I think it's unfortunate to see that, you know, trolling, when it gets defined by other people, is just pure hatred that's animated by the loss of the feeling that you've been decentered from society,
right?
Because we're moving towards a more equitable society.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I think that I don't think you can pull it back, but I do think that the important thing you do is what Whitney Phillips wrote about, is that you call that stuff out. It's not trolling, because trolling is harassment. Jokes. It's harassment. You know?
Yeah. I think that's what I've gotten from this conversation, is that we need to be very clear about, you know, making those lines and understanding the terminology. And if you're a troll, making it, you know, more understandable, like, what does that mean? Cause I think like going into this podcast, we didn't really know what it means. And now coming out, I'm like, okay, I understand more of it. And again, it's a complex thing, but the alt-right, we're talking about intent. I feel like those people in the alt-right are intentionally going behind that term of a troll to try to, you know, cover up what they're actually about and everything. And so, you know, maybe it's just like, no, you're not a troll. That's not what that is. You are this.
There's a humor behind it. There's certainly a gray area of what is funny, and that's where you get a lot of that darker side of trolling. But there's a good side to it to talk about as well.
Yeah.
That is never highlighted.
Yeah.
Ever.
I think the main thing that you were saying that I think is really cool is just like, no, it's a call it out. Like, if it's harassment, it's harassment.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
You know, and that I think needs to happen in so many facets of the world nowadays. Where it's like things get sugared over, and it's just like, no, this was this. Like, don't try to hide behind.
Yeah, don't
this.
Hide
like,
behind your free speech, and you're calling yourself a troll. Like, no, you like just said you were going to kill my child, so you're harassing me now.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. I just, you know, I think there's a gravity to it, and I think that, you know, and you know, there's a lot of personalities out there who have been subject to trolling, and you know, they have different perspectives of me than I would have. Absolutely, and I understand that. And so, you know, I think that in the long run, you're absolutely right, is that you have to call it out for what it is and, you know, say that this isn't really funny stuff. They do associate as trolls. You know, there's folks online that are being belligerent. There's always going to be folks online that are belligerent for the things we've enumerated because of the distance that you have. You can't have an honest conversation about politics, that people are always going to try to, like, call you out or attack you or all this kind of business. You know, I would say that, you know, not necessarily put blinders to that, because that's important to a certain extent. I just think that, you know, you need to, I think you need, we all need to focus on what's actually happening, which is real life. And real life is, and the internet is never going to be the right, like, you know, replication of what real life and what actually happens in the real world.
Right on.
Wow.
Yeah. Damn.
There's like truth dropped right now.
Bombs. I wish we could drop our mics, but they're expensive.
Yeah, we can't drop the mics.
And we're all really poor.
Please don't drop the mics. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd have to disconnect it from so many different things and take it out of its stance. It's a big process.
Yeah, I know.
We'll do it after. We promise. We'll
drop a mic in honor of this podcast. But Max, thank you so much for giving us. That was really interesting.
Fascinating.
So much to it. And I know that like there's so much more.
I mean, I'm still trying to unpack it myself.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be I'm going to be stewing on this one for a little while.
And it's a complicated issue. And we would love to hear from you guys. I mean, we're doing an episode on trolling. So please talk to us about it on our social media sites, because everybody's interacted in some way with this, and we'd love to know your thoughts. And I know I'm inviting a lot right now, but
even if you're a bunch of trolls,
come and troll us. Yeah. Troll this episode, please.
No, don't do that.
I'm I'm serious. You have no idea. You know? We don't want to talk about something and then not like put our money where our mouth is and engage with people on it. So
absolutely.
So
check us out at the Brothers Murph on all forms of social media, and we'd love to hear your thoughts or your experiences, or if you troll people yourself, whatever would be great. So hit us up on that. Max, before we go, we always like to do a little bit of trivia because we're always trying to learn here. So I think without further ado, if you guys are ready, I think it's time for the
quiz. Pop quiz. It's time for the pop quiz. Quiz. Pop quiz. We'll laugh when Nick loses.
Pop quiz.
Bam, there it is. So Max, do you have any trivia questions for us that we all might try to guess at? Because we think we're starting to get pretty smart about this trolling business.
I do. And let me pull them up right here. Okay. All right. So 4chan was created in 2003 by Christopher Poole, and he has a very famous handle that he's known for mainly instead of Christopher Poole. I tried to avoid saying it during the show. What is that? What is that handle?
Oh, God.
Oh my God.
Oh,
Pooley Pals. That's mine.
That's what it should be.
Dylan, what's your guess?
Ah, fuck.
That's it. Fuck them.
Yep. Fuck them.
You know what? I'm probably going to be correct.
Okay. There you go.
What about you, Case?
Oh my God. I don't know. Pool Bear, like Pooh Bear, but Pool Bear.
Oh, yeah. What about you, Nick?
I think it's the Dread Pirate Roberts. Is that it?
No, that's like the undernet or the...
That's a Silk Road.
Oh, that's Silk Road. Silk Road. Yeah, never mind. Right.
Yeah.
So he goes by the term moot.
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 Okay.
That's hilarious. That's so funny for a troll.
Yeah. It's very.
That's so funny. That's very clever. Gosh. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
No wonder he's a legend.
Right. Got excited. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
So I thought I knew one for once. I was pumped.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You knew some other
He's
stuff.
In jail now, the Dread Pirates.
No, I know.
Roberts,
yeah, they found
or at least on the way.
Yeah.
Well,
now
he is.
Through that guy.
Well on his way.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're all at zero. All right. Great.
Yes.
Okay. Let me see here. So out of these three memes, one of them did not originate from 4chan.
Oh, which one?
Interesting. Okay.
Which one is it?
Okay.
Number one, lolcats.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Two, advice dog.
Okay.
Three, all your base are belong to us.
All your what?
All your base are belong to us.
I'm going to go with lolcats.
The cool thing is one of us is going to be right.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the all your bases belong to us, or however it's properly said.
I'll go with the dogs.
Yeah.
Advice dog.
I'm also going with advice dog.
All right. It is... All your base are belong to
Damn. Mike got it.
Suck it.
Yeah. Where did it originate from?
It originated from something awful, actually.
Oh, from something dang awful. It. I bet you even talked about it, and we all just la-la-la up in our own brains.
I was the only one who's listening, Max. I'm sorry about these other guys. I'll have a talk after the podcast.
I was thinking about all these important topics that Max made me think about.
It's
God.
A deep subject.
Yeah. Thinking. Let me think.
All right. Well, I have 1 point at least.
All right.
Okay,
so
Mike's in the lead with one.
Here's another pop quiz.
All right.
Sweet.
All right. In the mid-millennia, so, you know, mid-2000s or so, which popular celebrity figure had a late night internet talk show that was constantly trolled by members of 4chan, which included one of them using a Star Fox recording of telling him to do a barrel roll over and over again.
Oh my God.
It's a talk show host? Late night talk show host?
Late night talk show host or an online talk show. He had an online talk show.
This is which celebrity had an online talk show that was like a late night show that was trolled all the time?
That was trolled constantly.
Okay.
Till it nearly broke his brain.
Damn.
It's a guy. I mean, that's a guy.
I'm going to guess Andy Cohen because he just seems like an internet-ish dude, but I have no idea. Is that even his name?
The guy from Bravo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my guess.
Mario Lopez.
Oh, who would troll Mario Lopez?
He would be so sensitive to that, too. Okay.
What are you, Dylan?
I think I'm going to go with Tom Green.
Oh,
interesting.
Did Tom Green ever have a talk show? Is that a thing that he did?
I want to guess before like Dylan MTV maybe was right. I want to guess Jamie Kennedy.
Okay.
Interesting.
It was Tom Green.
Oh. Yes! Oh.
Tom Green.
That makes so much sense. Nice. When you said that, I was like, oh, that's probably
yeah,
right.
I know.
I knew my guy was too recent. Okay, so Tom Green almost... Is that why he kind of disappeared? Is that...
He couldn't take the Star Fox jokes.
I don't remember. Well, you know, there's also some worse stuff that was on there too. But the one thing that was funny, the one thing that I found pretty funny was that they constantly I think the rabbit or one of the characters, I think the rabbit constantly say, do a barrel roll. And he didn't screen the calls. Every time he just got that, he would just be like, barrel roll? It was like, barrel roll, do a barrel roll. He got trolled so hard that eventually
Pepe was that character.
Pepe the Frog?
No, Pepe the Rabbit from Star Fox.
Whoa.
There you go.
But that's how he comes
to the next level. Oh my God.
It's
all full circle.
And we just finally debunked the internet, and probably tomorrow Skynet's going to happen. It's all going to shut down. So
yeah.
The Brothers Murph get smart and have finally destroyed the internet.
It wasn't Kim Kardashian.
So do us
a favor,
and before the internet explodes, go on to iTunes and give us a rating or share this podcast with your friends if you're enjoying what's going on. Even give us like a rating and then troll us in your rating. That's totally fine. We would just love to hear from you guys.
You can attempt to troll me on Twitter. I do have a Twitter. It's called Oval Face Elite. Max, a while ago, a little backstory, there was an episode where I was told that I have the ideal face shape. So I created a Twitter to celebrate that. And I want other oval faced people to join in. Go ahead and try to troll perfection. You can't troll nothing with a perfection. So join in the conversation if you have an oval face. If not, please just spectate. Don't join in the conversation.
I don't think people can troll you because I'm pretty sure you're a troll of some kind.
Just trolling myself.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't want anyone to feed into Nick's delusions about
his
beauty. Right
I actually
there.
Do want to yeah. see him turn into just an unstoppable monster. So, hey, go check out his
Twitter.
At
Ovalface
Elite.
There you
go.
He
has to be broken. Right.
I want to. It's you know what you gotta. Okay, I want to Pauly Shore him. You gotta build him up more before you tear him back down.
Fair enough. But if you do want to troll us, go onto our Patreon and start trolling us by giving us money and just saying mean things when you give us money.
That's fair.
Give us a dollar and talk about how much you hate that girl with the high pitched voice. No, yeah. Here's my dollar,
here's
so she
money.
Shuts up.
Yeah.
Here's money.
I'll take
so
it.
You can take that gas that deepens your voice.
As a benefit to our backers, we will post pictures of our tears,
yep.
but only available to backers. So you can't.
We'll
just
send them in
it.
A vial for $100 donation, and yeah, it'll be great. So thank you so much for that, guys. Max, again, thank you for being an amazing guest.
Yeah, thank you so much.
This was. Awesome.
Yeah, really though.
You know, because there's moments where the internet is super funny and someone comes up with something so clever. I'm just like, damn, that's great.
It just makes you angry.
Smart people. And then again, there's the flip side of that coin. Yeah. But thank you so much for helping explain and open up our eyes to trolling and what it really is. So thank you so much for that. And for now, I have been Michael Murphy.
I'm Nick Murphy.
Casey Brown.
Dylan White.
And our guest has been Max. Thank you so much. And we are imploring you to stay curious.